Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Bob Suda, Assistant Commissioner for the Office of IT Solutions with the Federal Technology Service of the General Services Administration. Joining us in our conversation is Steve Watson, another PwC partner.
Bob, how do you measure success at ITS?
My main goal is through customer satisfaction and customer retention, to make sure our customers we currently have stay with us, and making sure we're delivering our services and our products on time. We have a measurement that we deal with on a quarterly basis that must be reported to our administrator, and it deals with commodities and services being delivered on time or better than what our schedule date is. So that's one of my major driving forces to look at. But my visits to customers and seeing if they're happy and they're satisfied with the work's being done, or emails I get or letters I get from customers, is my real measure for success. And the other one that's more important to me is or make sure our associates have a good well-being about themselves, that they're able to balance their work life and personal life. And it's hard sometimes in our community because there is so much work that needs to be done and that we're doing that we have people in our office at long, long hours. And trying to balance that work life and personal life is really tough. And I spend a lot of time with my associates making sure that they're not in the office on weekends or, you know, late nights most of the time. I mean, there's times you're going to have that happen. But if I'm walking into the office and I see a lot of associates on a weekly basis, every day of the week, there till 9, 10 o'clock at night, then I know we have a problem. We have something that's not right. Something needs to be fixed because that shouldn't happen.
What is your strategic vision for ITS over the next 5 years?
Continued high-quality customer service and making sure that we have the expertise in-house to provide that service to our customers, whether it be acquisition support, IT expertise, business support, or financial support. I think without that, you don't succeed. And the workforce, I think, from my viewpoint, is the most important thing that we have in our operation. I mean, one of my things in my bio says, my most important asset are my people. And I truly believe that on a daily basis. I have a tendency, I manage walking around. When I go to my Springfield location, probably 3 times a week, I spend a time walking around the office during the course of the day visiting everybody. Just if I just have to say hi or whatever's going on, business-wise or personal-wise, just to stop by and see who's there and make sure that they're content and happy and doing their job and seeing a smile on their face versus seeing a frown. And I firmly believe that what we do for government and FTS is the right thing for government. I think we have done a tremendous job being a non-mandatory source in providing both telecom expertise as well as IT solutions for our customers out there. So I think the continued high quality customer service in this market is my really strategic vision for the future.
What do you see as the management challenges in achieving that strategic vision?
Workforce. The workforce, I think, is the key one, is maintaining and trying to find the best and brightest people in the procurement arena. And we call them the 1102s in the federal sector. It's hard finding the top-notch people. They're either working today in other agencies and don't want to leave, or it's just hard trying to bring them up through the ranks. Obviously, everybody looks for new people. We want to bring people up through the ranks so they have a learning process to get through where they need to be for the future. But with the market that we're in today, I need people almost immediately walking in the door and being able to do those procurements and manage those projects. So trying to find the right people is always tough. I think we've done a pretty good job of it. We've hired a lot of industry people in the last couple of years that either have been obviously laid off or something along those lines in the industry side. But I believe that without our staff, we would not be where we are today.
What other steps are you taking to address the human resource challenge?
Well, we have a number of training courses we provide to our people. One's called Solutions EDU, which focuses on how to do statements of objective versus statements of work. We have a forum group that we do in regards to what our contract vehicles are about, how they work, how they operate. And that's for customers as well as industry as well as our associates. So we try to provide a lot of training activities to them. Plus, every individual or every associate within FTS or within GSA has an individual development plan. So they have a whole set of training courses that are required. They're supposed to take over the course of a year or try to take as far as getting to the next step in their career. And we manage and track that so we know what they're doing and making sure that they get the right training or education they need to do their job.
Has the retirement wave impacted GSA?
It hasn't yet. I mean, we went through a major downsizing back in the mid-90s when we had the big buyouts and we lost a lot of people that way. There's a lot of staff, though, at that. I mean, our average age is 48 right now in the agency overall, and it's the same in FTS as well as in ITS. But people don't want to retire. It's amazing. They don't. You know, they're not thinking about it. There's a few probably that you know just are waiting for that buyout to come. But I think overall, our staff is very dedicated and really wants to do a good job and believes in working for the government from a public sector standpoint that they're doing the right thing for the taxpayer. And I think that's the most important thing that I get out of my staff on a daily basis, so that they understand that. It's not about the bottom line. It's about doing the right thing for government.
Looking across government, what do you see as the next top technology issues for federal government as a whole?
You know, obviously security is top on the list right now, and that's the biggest driving process or issue right now. But overall, IT architecture across government, you know, Mark Forman's pushing that overall IT architecture process, and that's breaking down the silos, not only within agencies, but across agencies. We still have, it's built here, so I'm going to do it my way. And I think until we break down those silos, and Mark's trying to do it, I think he's doing a good job at trying to focus that way, I think we won't get there unless we do that. And I think with Homeland Security, the way Mark is handling the whole infrastructure for that and other things he's working on right now has really pushed the envelope differently than I have ever seen in the past. I think it's a good thing.
You said it was hard to bring people up through the system to become procurement specialists. Why is that?
It's just time. A lot of it's time. And you can't do it fast enough because either it's lack of resources, potentially money, budget, one reason, or not finding the time to get them trained. Because what you're winding up doing is you're throwing right into the fire on a daily basis. And they're working so hard to get through the normal day-to-day process mm-hmm. that you can't have time to focus on doing training. So one of the things we just did in my FedSIM operation is we made it mandatory that there are 2 weeks out of the year right, that people basically have to either take leave or go on training. Pick your own time, okay? But people just want to build that leave up, and we're saying you need to get out of the office because you just need that mental break from what's going on a daily basis. Yes, we see a lot of burnout.
Is there a rule of thumb you use that after a certain number of years, you're now kind of in the groove in terms of training and experience to be?
You know, you can be day one walking in the door or it can be 10 years later. It all depends upon the individual and their drive and their motivation. And I've seen people walk in the door in 3 weeks, pick it up and walk and start doing a job. And other ones, 5 years later, are still struggling. And it may be part of a management problem or part of it being a personal proactive problem.
Let me take you back to our last segment where we talk about telecommuting, and I noticed you were quick to caveat it, under certain circumstances at work. I wonder if you have other lessons learned from the telecommuting experience.
You know, I got to tell you, I think all of mine so far have been positive because I have not taken any individual off telework since I put somebody on because I've seen a morale pick up, I've seen a productivity pick up. We provide our staff at home now DSL access, so they have fast access to procurement documents, mm-hmm. all behind the firewall. So it allows them to do their work even faster than they did it before. I think the biggest drawback, though, is that the lack of interaction with the people in the office. That is we have a picnic once a year. And when I go to a picnic, I see all these new faces that I haven't seen for the last year. And it's like, okay, where have they been? Mm-hmm. Well, they're teleworkers. So I think I see the downside from both an individual standpoint as well as a business standpoint. Because mm-hmm. when I have my monthly associate meetings, everybody shows up. Even the teleworkers come in, but they'll sit in the back of the room because they don't know anybody. And we try to bring them up to the front to sort of get them focused on what's going on within the office. Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing conversations across conference calls, whatever, they're not involved, so they don't know as well what's going on as people inside the building do, because either whether through its gossip or just through the chain of management.
What advice would you give to, say, a young person interested in a career in public service?
It's not about the money. It's about providing that public sector attitude and being able to help the taxpayer and having that different mentality. You know, when I first came to government, I had a goal in life to become a certain level by a certain time. And I actually did an envelope and sealed it, like a time machine type of thing. When I got married, I gave it to my wife at the time, and I said, hold this to my 40th birthday, okay? Open it on my 40th birthday. So she did, right? And the timeline I had put down was to be the head of finance within GSA by my 40th birthday. Missed it by 1 year. But it was because of drive and because dedication, because I really wanted to do the right thing for government, for the taxpayer. And that was more about that than it was about the money. And money's decent in government. And people say it's not, but it's decent. I just don't think some people are acclimated to government service because they have that drive motivation for a bottom line dollar. And you can't have that motivation. It's a great job. You work hard. And I think the satisfaction you get when you see something come to fruition that makes it all worthwhile.
Well, Bob, I'm afraid we're out of time. Steve and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you very much. And if you want to get more information about FTS, you can go to, on the web, fts.gsa.gov. Had a great time, gentlemen. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Bob Suda of GSA. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.